How y'all doing? Y'all good? You'll find out how I'm doing in just a second. I was raised in Louisiana. See if y'all can understand me. But I've been down in Mexico for the last 40 years. Raised my family down in Mexico. My wife's here. Stand up, Ms. Hogan. Her and I have been married for 45 years. Yeah. And we believe in commitment. So everything you hear out of my mouth is going to be about how to stay strong and stable instead of how to change women or jobs or kids or like he changed shirts. I don't believe that. I believe in Jesus. Amen. That's what I believe in is Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That's what I believe in. You hear me? Now, let's get a whole bunch of stuff sorted out. I'm not a new guy. All right? I'm what y'all call a lifer. I'm one of them people that hear God and go somewhere and stay there. All right? You hear me? Heaven spoke to me a long time ago, 40 years ago. And I left Louisiana. I was in a swamp over there preaching. And I haven't been back to stay. I've stayed in Mexico. Now, things have gone quite hard, but good for us. All right? Brother Norval Hayes was one of our heroes when I first got started. Amen. My sister just sent me a WhatsApp. I sent her a video of y'all worshiping God. And my sister, I didn't know that. Brother Norval is the one that laid hands on her and my brother-in-law to get the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that. And then they got me. So that's, y'all are connected without knowing it. There you go. That's a good thing. I'm eighth generation preacher. So you can keep your politics. They are not going to work. I don't fear you. There's nothing you've got that I need. Only person that's got something I need is the Holy Ghost. I'm not afraid. I apologize to you. I'm coming. Just a few days ago, we were in a war zone, where every time I went to church, it was 100% guaranteed I was going to be shot and not come back. And so when you go to church anyway and you live under that kind of an atmosphere, it gives you courage. And it makes you not be afraid of trivial church politics and religious demons. It lets you be free to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've decided how I want to start this. First of all, I want to tell y'all, I want to give my condolences to the family for Miss Sona. The Lord Jesus bless y'all. Amen. I'm sorry. Now, we got to keep going. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. There you go. Yes. All right. I do have something a verse God gave me. We'll use that in a minute. But first, I want to... I'm either right or not. We'll see. And I am right. Jesus is King. Amen. I got to tell you, I'm eighth generation. I've been through this a few times myself. And it isn't easy. But we got to keep walking with the Holy Ghost. So be it. There you go. All right, now I'm kind of overwhelmed by the puniness of the scarves and coats up here. There should be like, I don't know, 200 or 300 of them or more, because that's how many people's in here. Do you understand why I want you to put your stuff up here? Does anybody understand that? How many does not? Let me see your hands. You don't know. There's one. Who else don't know? Two, three. Who don't know what we're doing? Four, five. All right, that's enough. Yeah, it's looking better now. Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo!
Holy Ghost and fire. All right, well, let's don't go coffee shop. Let's keep some semblance of a meeting going here. Holy Ghost. I got a couple of stories I want to tell you because I want to encourage you. So how many people, let me see, that don't know why we're putting the stuff up here? Let me see your hands. Oh, my goodness. All right. So we'll do that first. Go over to Acts chapter 19. And I'll read you a couple of verses that you're supposed to already know. You probably do. Acts chapter 19. I have four kids. They all work with us in, or they're part of the team in Mexico. I have six grandkids and they all work with us also. Somehow or another, I got blessed out of the deal. My family's intact and the mercy of God works. That's what I know to say to you. I'm sorry when it seems like it's not working. I'm sorry to you about that. But there's a better good involved that we humans most of the time can't see. And we have trouble with it because we're emotional beings and we believe in emotions more than we do the Word of God. So that's going to change. And today's the day. In the name of Jesus. Today's the day. In the name of Jesus. So, Acts 19, now I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about some of this stuff. We're getting thousands of miracles now with these cloths. Every time I go back to our office in Texas, there's boxes of cloths from all over the world, every continent. I'd spend a day praying over this stuff and then put it in the mailbox and sending it back. And we're getting thousands upon thousands of miracles, and they're really good ones. Anytime God does something, it's awesome. So, I mean, whether you appreciate it or not, it's not the point. It's heaven doing something is the point. Holy Ghost. So let's look at this. Look at verse 11. Read it to me. It doesn't matter what version one of y'all. Read me that. What does it say? All right. Some of y'all's version says special. Some says unusual. Some says extraordinary. It doesn't matter what word you use to describe how you're taken back when God comes and does something. What matters is how to get God to do this stuff. That's what matters. So I was a kid, I got slammed with the Holy Ghost. The Azusa Street thing went on out in California. And then it went across the top of the United States and came down to Mississippi. When it got to us in Louisiana, it was called the Charismatic Renewal. And that's where I got smashed, was in the charismatic thing back in the 70s, all right? And then the Holy Ghost immediately spoke a word into my mind. I was sitting there one morning going to work, and it was a new thing for us to pray together. And I was sitting there, and this word Mexico came in my mind. I didn't know what that was. I apologize to y'all. I went and looked it up in the library because you didn't have the internet. Like I could ask my wife right now from my Apple phone, and any question you ask me, I can get it right here in within a few seconds. But in those days, He actually had to go open books. So I went and I studied this thing, Mexico. I didn't know what it was. I found out it was a nation and they eat beans. And they use tortillas. And they eat chilies. And they do these things. They do lots of things there that I'm not used to. Like speak Spanish. And so I had to go to language school. My wife and I left. I was an oil field worker. Making some good money, actually. And we went down to McAllen, Texas, went to language school, a place called Kingsway. That was a long time ago. That's close to 40 years ago now, right? I think it might be 40 years. Is that right? Hey, do the math. And then let me know. And I crossed over into Mexico and we've never come back. So that's how it went for me. I didn't get anybody's opinion. I didn't ask any elders. And in y'all's life, that's not right. But we've raised over 500 people from the dead now. And that's without anybody's okay on it, except for the gospel. Now, when I got down there, I figured out that I couldn't do anything. I figured out that a lot of enthusiasm and emotion does not get the sick healed. It doesn't get the dead raised. Bible knowledge, throwing Bible verses at demons don't work. It takes faith. The Word of God has to be active for you to get results. It don't matter how many verses you memorize. It don't matter how many songs you sing. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're wasting your time. You should make money and give it to me. The very first time that I saw this stuff work, it was one of our conferences in Mexico. We had a few thousand people in a pile and we was worshiping Jesus. Because it turns out God was in my wife and I going to Mexico. And now we got, I don't know, a few thousand churches and it's nice. It's really nice. There are thousands of believers now. So it was God that day. I was sitting there in that chair and I heard Mexico. And I went, a Southern Baptist pastor's son with no backing. I just left. Turns out God was in it. Because he listens and hears and reacts to faith. Not to opinions in politics and committees. But we was in one of our conferences. There's lots of people there and I'm the dad of the bunch. And so they always mess with me with this stuff. So this lady comes up. She's an old lady. She come up with this pile of clothes. I don't know what she wanted. Cause they're poor. I don't take nothing from the poor. I give to the poor. That's what Jesus said you're supposed to do. So that's what we do. And so this lady said to me, you're going to pray over these clothes and I'm going to take them back home and my family's going to be healed. Well, I looked at her like, that's absurd. I mean, what do clothes have to do with the equation? So I asked my theologians, there's always theologians around. They're useless most of the time. But every now and then you do need an obscure Bible verse that nobody else knows, but somebody went and spent 40 years in school wasting their time. Is that fair enough? I'm the one with the experience here. I'm the one that's right. I got proof. There are no more diseases to destroy. We've killed them all. We've had them. There ain't one. There's some new ones I heard about since I've been out here. Y'all got new devils bothering y'all. But they will be defeated just like the rest of them.
Yes.
So I asked the theologians, I need a Bible verse that okays me praying for an inanimate object, clothes. That doesn't matter what color they are or what the material is. Y'all the ones that make idols out of those things. Y'all are called an idolatrous nation. You used to be a godly nation, but you changed. Now you follow the demon. And you expect God to still jump when you pull the chain. Well, you're wrong. You have to submit to him for that to happen. And then you're not going to have no chain anymore. You're going to be filled with mercy. And the goodness of God's going to flow. That's how it's going to go. You all right, Mom? Did you do any math? Did you? 37 years. That's close to 40. Old as we are. A couple of times I bat my eye, it'll be 3 more years. So the people, these theologians that had, they were the valedictorians of these schools they went to, so I thought they was important. They had this piece of paper a man gave them, said they were smart. That absolutely does no good against dead raising. It takes the blood covenant of the Lamb of God. Fair enough? All right. And so this, they gave me this verse here. It says, and God did special, unusual, extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. In y'all's world, y'all believe in these religious demons. Y'all have allowed idolatry to come into the church. You do all the idolatrous holidays and things. You're all devil worshipers. And then you want God to move for you. It's weird I can say that with a smile and I sit here and expect you to believe me because I'm right. Not only have I done my homework, I fought these devils because where I live, they're alive. They don't hide. So, makes you a good soldier whenever you fight the enemy head on. It does. Makes you brave also. Makes you look at people right in the face and do your best to tell them the truth and expect them to believe it. With no fear. So they gave me these verses, and so verse 12 is the one about the clothes, so we'll read that. Somebody want to read that verse 12 for me?
So that from this body were brought unto sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
That's what it says. What version is that?
King James.
I use the Amplified. If that's all right, I don't know if that's all right. Is Amplified okay? I mean, I realize where I'm at over here in Mecca. And if I don't use the authorized King James Version, I got one on here. I just don't use it. I can't understand it. That was another cut at religion. So, verse 12 in the Amplified says it like this. So that handkerchiefs, towels, or aprons which had touched his skin. You see me being obedient to what this is saying? See, when you obey this and you theologians and doctrinalized people are going to have trouble with me because I take God literal. I believe this is the word of God here. I believe it's from the beginning of time it was with God. John chapter 1 verse 1. And it was God. So when I read this, I'm reading God himself. Because the word, John chapter 1 verse 14, became life and dwelt among us, and his name was Jesus.
Amen.
Is that fair enough? So if you take this stuff, so I took that woman's clothes, and I rubbed it all over my body, and I gave them back to her, and you know, she never even stayed for the message. That was because it took her 2 days to get there. And her entire family had incurables. And so she was the only one who wasn't sick out of the whole family. And when she got back home, I love this. Y'all, you have no idea how I like this. Because I didn't even know it was possible. But see, with God, how much of it's possible?
All.
What does it say? What does it say in Luke chapter 1 verse 37? Anybody know? What did the angel tell Mary? For with God, all things are possible. Your feelings about the matter, your circumstances are irrelevant. What's relevant is the mercy of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the truth. That woman went 2 days back home. So we're looking at a 5-day window, which several of them could have been dead because these diseases don't hold a watch like us. She started with the baby. She put the baby's clothes on and the baby was instantly healed. It went to the toddler and then the next one, then to the husband, and the whole family was instantly healed. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So this is what you're going to say with me. I want that.
I want that.
I want that in Jesus' name.
I want that in Jesus' name.
It's not an option.
It's not an option.
It's for me.
It's for me.
God put it in the Word.
God put it in the Word.
And it's for me.
And it's for me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Fair enough?
Yes.
So that's what this is all about. Because it works. There's no disease that everything has been healed by weird things like this. Weird, it's weird. I was in Louisiana a while back and we had these weird meetings. God came. That's what made them weird. I mean, we have meetings all the time. We never expect God to come. I mean, we all know how it's going to go before we get there. Everybody's going to put on their best smelling stuff. Well, most everybody. Some people believe it's all right to smell like a goat. I'm not one of those. And put on their best clothes and act like everything's all right when nothing's okay. That's called a lie. It's called religion. We stop it now.
Amen.
Jesus is King.
Yes.
We're going to believe in the gospel.
Yes.
We're going to let the power of God flow through us.
Yes.
Because it's right to do.
Yes.
Jesus is King.
Yes.
Do y'all know Bill Johnson?
Yes.
Any of y'all? I was just out there in their place. And we had these miracles happen. I want to tell you one of them. Is that okay?
Yes.
It was a big meeting and there was lots of people there, lots of thousands of people. I was one of the ones there that got to talk. Why me? I don't know. I got on blue jeans and boots. Who wants that? We all know that tithes is what heals us. Except you can't produce a verse for me for that, but otherwise, religion believes that. I believe Jesus does it.
Amen.
I believe he can use a donkey if he's so disposed to do so.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
What else was you expecting? Y'all knew what I was going to say before I ever got up here. You knew I was going to tell you the truth. What I think the truth is coming. Bam. Freight train time. I don't know you. It doesn't matter. Because there's a day coming that I'm going to stand before God. He's going to ask me about this service tonight. He's going to ask me how come I couldn't get a little straighter about it. I'm not going to be found wanting when he asks me that question. Fair enough? Y'all, I apologize to y'all about what I'm fixing to tell you, but the mercy of God has absolutely got extreme on us. Okay? We was in some meetings in New Jersey. I mean, absolutely, I'd have never thought it. New Jersey, are you serious? And there was lots of thousands of people there. And there was a whole bunch of important healers there. The Bakers were there, Heidi and Roland, myself, Miss Hogan, Bill Johnson, Bishop Garlington. He's one of the most famous guys. He's the one that did that Promise Keepers. Real important fellow. Holy Ghost is really using that man. So, and we're all there. And I'm real friendly with Brother Bill. I like him a little bit. And so I was telling him about, because there's been an outbreak in our work of these miracles. I like them. They're creation miracles. So that, now I like that because I didn't know such thing was even possible. And it turns out it is. Because I guess Luke 1:37 applies there also. Y'all read that, anybody? Luke 1:37, is that the right verse?
Oh, yeah.
Make sure y'all, make sure if it's not, let me know. I think it is.
It is.
Otherwise, I have to look it up myself. And I was telling Brother Bill all these, there's four or five really annoying miracles. The reason they're annoying is because they just really tear religion up. And he got so excited, he didn't even teach his famous message he had. It was his session. He gets up there and he goes, well, I'm not even going to talk. Let me tell you how this is going to go. We're going to heal the sick. He said, I was just sitting there talking to David and I got so excited. There ain't nothing to say except Jesus is King, like he says. And in 30 minutes, you know what I saw with my eyes? I saw this with my eyes. This is not hearsay or nothing else. There's lots of thousands of people there, and with my eyes, I watched 22 deaf people healed instantly. I saw that with my eyes. That's where I was standing. I was counting them as they was getting healed. It was pretty annoying because I didn't get to lay hands on anybody. The angel of the Lord moved through and just started healing the sick. And then he didn't stop. The next thing was the blind. The blind started seeing, and just right there in my section where I was standing, Miss Hogan and I, there were four totally blind people healed instantly. Pow! I saw that with my eyes. And then I saw something else. Now, this is what I want to talk about. It's really weird. Your God is just out of control. I'm serious. He really believes he's in charge. Now we know that the church and the elders and the deacons don't allow that. But every now and then, he breaks in on us anyway. You know what he did? There was this lumberjack. Y'all understand lumberjack? This fellow been cutting trees for 20-something years, very experienced fellow, but he hit a tree one day. He was cutting it. It split in half. I don't know what you know about that, but I used to cut wood myself. And those things are very dangerous, because when they split, the thing pops back. And there's, I don't know, lots of tons of pressure when the tree splits. It hit him in the face. Crushed his skull. They airlifted him to the hospital. The doctors did what they do. They did their best. They put him back together, but he was disfigured. He had metal in his face, and he was disfigured because of the crushing stump of the tree. Follow me? 4.5 years, operation or two every year. Try to keep him alive. And then he was at that service. Now listen, I apologize to you about this. But I saw this for myself. This big, huge fella comes running down screaming. And right in front of us all, God. God the Father. Took the metal out of that guy's face and regrew the bones in public in front of us all. It was like God's supposed to hide to do these things. But he didn't. See, this is why we need mercy. Because our lives, all of us in here, God, our lives are tragedies. It's just one to the next. You see the color of my hair? I got that figured out now. And I don't like that part. I want it to be utopia, euphoria. I want it to be like I'm on drugs and everything's fine. But it's not. It's miserable most of the time. This is why we need the Holy Ghost. We need help. If you don't hear me, you're not going to make it. And if you're mad enough to put your little by God fist up, you know what I got to say to you? Hell's that way. Enjoy yourself. Because I'm not bowing. I apologize to you. Bring it. I'm not bowing. Jesus is king. Fair enough? I watched that man in front of us get healed. I mean, we're all just, are you serious? I mean, right on camera and everything. I mean, God is just not bashful. I mean, you expect him to be bashful. He's just not. I like that. So I'm going to be like him and not be bashful. I'm just going to be bold and right in your face. How's that? Jesus is king. That's the end of it. Y'all in Hebrews yet? I thought y'all were prophetic. Y'all get taught how to be prophetic, but that don't make you a prophet, does it? You can get your little card and even print it on your card. I'm a prophet. That don't make you one. So Hebrews chapter 11. Y'all there? I am. Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, the reason we're going to do Hebrews chapter 11 is because the Holy Ghost asked me 3 years and 4 months ago to go back to square one because I got myself in a bind because success is mostly evil. It's not evil, but it mostly can be to men or women. You start believing the goodness around you, you're going to go down. What happened to us? We got attacked in 2012. It's the roughest, hardest, meanest, spitting year I've ever lived. There was no area of my life that I didn't get attacked. My family, personal family, our finances fell out from under us. In 1 year, 9 of my best pastors were murdered. Good boys. I raised them from teenagers myself. And they got killed. You start taking things personal. That's where you're going to fall. I decided to quit because it got too hard after all the years. And I went out to church on January the 3rd, 2013. And I was going to quit. There was 1,000 of my pastors were in a pile, and I was going to tell them, this is my last time to see you. I'm going to go make some money and flip everybody off. I've had enough with the politics and the way the church world operates. I don't want nothing to do with any of it anymore. And I was going to do it. I made my mind up. I told that lady sitting right there. But what happened was the Holy Ghost, I'm standing up there to quit. Because see, I'm not a quitter, see. But things got a little bit tight. My personal home got attacked 3 times by bad guys. When you have your granddaughter sitting under a masked man with AK-47, has an effect on you. And so I don't like it. So, the Holy Ghost got me by the belt buckle. Now, y'all are not going to like this. Not much I talk about y'all going to like. Because I talk about faith in Jesus. That's all I'm going to talk about. You change the subject and I'm going home or going to get a Subway and go home and eat it. Nothing else to do. I don't believe in that junk y'all believe in. I believe in Jesus. Like I told you in the beginning, Jesus is King. And so this Holy Ghost grabbed me by the belt buckle, picked me up in the air, and I was actually levitating. Y'all hate that word. But I was actually floating in the air. Call it what you want. You would nearly be as freaked out as I was. Because I am sitting here fixing to quit, and God just absolutely refused to listen to me. I'm serious. He thinks he's in charge. We know he's not. We know we're the ones running the show. And he held me in the air for a minute. It was really a long minute, and I was not happy. And then he smashed me to the ground, and I got knocked out by the Holy Ghost fire. And then when I woke up, this guy was there, full of the Holy Ghost, using as much threatening posture as I can to rattle Hell's cage. Because Jesus is King, that's why. Now, when I woke up, my problems were not solved. I was. My heart was changed. Jesus touched me. Quit cursing your problems and repent. Get your heart changed. Everything around you will work out.
Amen.
And so I went to God. I said, what are you doing? He never answered me. Because I don't guess it's any of my business what he's doing. My responsibility is to be obedient, not to have it all figured out. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me on a 40-day fast on day 11 to go back to square one, which is faith. That's where I started. Anybody in this room that got born again and was true experience, you started in the same spot. Believing that Jesus was the resurrected King of Kings. Right? So what's the first 3 words in Hebrews 11? Say it again. Say it again. Now say it again like you mean it. Now say it again like you really mean it. Because that's the truth, you see. Now faith is. Now. Say it with me. Now.
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 Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Because see, whoever wrote Hebrews, you theologians can argue about that. I don't give a flying flip. But whoever wrote it, it was several thousand years ago, and they wrote that now faith is. And it has never changed. Regardless of the situation, the war, the rumor of war, the disease, the plague, never changed what God said.
Amen.
What changes is us.
Amen.
What we have to do is bow to this.
Amen.
And our life works out for us a little better.
Amen.
Hello? Is honesty okay with you? I mean, what do you want? Because I want to tell you this miracle is burning in my heart. Now, I'll get to it in a minute. First of all, I want to share another verse with you so that we can just appease all the religious demons with at least three Bible verses. So go over to Ephesians. You okay, Mom? All right, then. We'll be fine. Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all there yet? I'm not. Y'all understand I'm getting to know you, right? That's all this is. I know y'all think y'all have the power, but you're backwards. You are confused. I am a son of God. Do you understand that? Then you should know what you're messing with. I do not fail and I am not confused. Jesus is King. Shakaba. So let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 6. I can just back up a little and calm down so y'all won't be afraid. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. First verse is 10. What does it say? In conclusion, finally. Do you hear me? This is a concluding of the matter. This is not. Y'all's world is lust and crave after things. Houses, cars, women, men, clothes. That's not what you're supposed to be lusting after. You're supposed to be craving the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. In conclusion, be strong. I come here and I speak strength over you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless this land. I bless this house in the name of Jesus. I refute any hindering, tormenting, lying spirits by the blood of Jesus. And I speak peace to you. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. It's not about you and your futile human physicalities. It's about the mercy of God. I'm right about this, y'all.
Amen.
Listen, we have stumbled over some power where I live. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to blow your mind. I am so blown away by the mercy of God. It is such a good thing to be caught off guard after so many years of preaching the gospel. God is amazing.
Yes.
It says in my Bible, draw your strength, this is amplified, from Him. Draw your strength from Him. Say strength.
Strength.
Come to me.
Come to me.
From the Lord Jesus Christ. That strength which His boundless might provides.
Yes,
might of the gospel. Call on it.
Might.
That was puny. Might of the gospel.
Might of the gospel.
Come to us.
Come to us.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Verse 11. Put on God's whole armor. What for? What's it for? That is, you can, that you may be able successfully.
Yes, yes.
See, if I was to get the truth from you, it would be weak. God is not weak.
Amen.
But the gospel is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
We need the might of the gospel.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Say it with me. Might of the gospel.
Might of the gospel.
Come to me.
Come to me.
Covenant of grace and mercy.
Come to me.
Come to me.
In Jesus' name.
That you may be able to be successful. Say it. Success.
Success.
Come to me.
Come to me.
In the name of Jesus. Now, why do I want to be successful? What's the reason for it? So I can be wealthy? So I can be out of the grips of hell? No, that's wrong also. It's so that we can stand against the strategies and the deceits of the demon. Say it with me. Strategies.
Strategies.
Deceits of the demon.
Deceits of the demon.
The Lord Jesus rebuke you.
The Lord Jesus rebuke you.
Principalities.
Principalities.
Powers.
Powers.
Governing.
Governing.
Ruling spirits.
Ruling spirits.
The Lord Jesus rebuke you.
I walk in the power
and the demonstration
of the gospel
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
Verse 12. See, when you engage these principalities and these strategies and deceits of the devil, we get offended. We don't get our way. We lose, is what I'm saying. And so we want to place the blame on anything but where it belongs. It's my fault. Because if I would seek God, my world would change. If I would repent and fast and pray and stay at the altar, the mercy of God would come to me. It's not my fault you have trouble. It's not the devil's fault. We are sons of God.
Amen.
Our right is to walk in heavenly places
yes.
with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We sit with him.
Yes.
High, far above
yes.
principalities, powers.
Yes.
Everything is below us under
yes.
our feet.
Yes.
That's what your word says.
Yes.
That is who we are.
Yes.
We choose a lower trail. That is your fault.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And we're going to change tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we're smarter than we look. Because it works. That's why.
That's right. Amen.
For we don't wrestle with flesh and blood and contending only with physical opponents, but again, despotisms. Doggone, that's a hard word to say.
Yeah.
Against powers, world rulers. You better deal with that phone, Miss Hogan. It's starting to cut up over here on my... Cut it off. My thing runs off of my phone. Sorry, y'all. Master spirits. So let's speak to some of these despotisms and powers and master spirits and world rulers. Say it with me. Despotisms.
Despotisms.
Powers.
Powers.
Master spirits.
World rulers.
Present darkness.
Present darkness.
Spirit forces of wickedness.
Spirit forces of wickedness.
From the heavenly supernatural sphere.
From the heavenly supernatural sphere.
I call you out in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke you because I believe. I am a believer.
I am a son of God.
I am a daughter of Zion. Say it, ladies. Come on. This is who we are. Verse 13, therefore, since we've done these things, put on God's complete armor. See, most of you are born again and you run around and you're happy about that. Well, that's your helmet. The rest of you is nude. You got on a nice hat, but you're really naked and we don't like that part. The gospel is powerful, but you need to put the whole armor on. There's a reason God wanted you looking that way. It's because whenever they look at you, they see his armor. They think it may be him. And they're a little bit more tentative about attacking. And if you are a son of God, you are speaking on his behalf as the oracles of God himself. That's who you are.
Amen.
And that's the truth, you know.
Amen.
Okay. Put on the whole armor. For what reason? To stand. And after you've done all the stand, what's the next step? And after you stood twice, what's the next step?
Stand.
So what's the problem with you? Why are you whining to me and murmuring and complaining? Dude, where does your strength come from? Joy. Where does joy come from? The Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
It almost gets boring to have to say this stuff so much.
Hallelujah.
Put on God's complete armor. Say it. I'll do it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
To be able to resist, to stand your ground on the evil day, because I'm going to tell you something. I've lived long enough to know it's coming.
Hallelujah.
You can rebuke and curse and do whatever you want to, but in a minute, there's going to be a 90 degree in your curve in your life that nobody told you about. You're going to find yourself flipping through the cotton field. You're going to need the mercy of God. You're going to need the armor of God. You're going to need the blood covenant. You're going to need the word of God. You're going to need these things. They're not just an awesome talk or a great message or a good thing all to get encouraged about. Dude, you better suit up. Because there's a lie out there, these ultimate grace lying spirits that are saying the war's over are lying to you.
Yeah.
We do win.
Yes.
But you got to walk it out.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of my thing, it says to stand firmly in your place. You know why I got to come here? You know why? Because I'm still in play after 40 years. You know why I get to go to all these famous places and preach? It's not because I got the best suit in the house or the best message or the best speaker. It's because I'm still in my place. And I'm still suited out. And I'm not going to back down.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how it is. I'm really good at my job. And that's cutting demons apart. I like that part.
Amen.
I am one of the best soldiers you'll ever meet. Because I'm not quitting. I tried once or twice, like 100 maybe. Quitting never worked out for me. I really did try. I don't know how people can do that. I've tried so many times and failed at quitting. It's mercy. The whole thing is mercy. It ain't any other thing but mercy. Okay. I've stood firmly in place, verse 13. What's the first few words of 14 say? What's the first two words say?
Stand there.
That's right. Hold your ground.
Amen.
I've watched some of the most amazing people around me get chewed up by these bad guy demons. And they're not evil people, and they're not, they just quit. And they shouldn't have. They should have stood their ground. And after they stood their ground and firmly in place, they should have kept standing. And stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth. There you go. First thing you want is the truth of the gospel. And then you put on the breastplate. See, most of you have your little hat on. That's cute. But the rest of you's naked. You wonder why you keep getting so many hits? It's because you need the rest of it.
Amen.
You need the truth of the gospel around you. You need the breastplate of righteousness. I mean, my thing says integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. That's what the breastplate is. Having your feet shod with what? The preparation, the faith to face the enemy with the firm footed, what's this? Stability.
Amen.
Most modern Christians are as flippant and flaky as any drug addict you've ever met. But in reality, a son of God is a stable, firm-footed human.
Amen.
That's not afraid. that just loves Jesus in the middle of controversy. All right. That's what this says. I believe it. Promptness, readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering, the shield of saving faith. God, I thank you for the shield of faith. So when is faith?
Now.
Oh, you.
Now.
Now.
The Bible says to hold your tongue. I had to right then because I really wanted to fuss at you a little bit. So when is faith?
Now.
That's a lot better. If you don't have now faith, you don't have a shield in your hand. If you don't have a shield in your hand, you're a wide open target. The shield of faith stops all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is nothing can get through it. If you have mercy active in your life and faith is active in your life, you are invincible. It don't matter how many hits you take, you're not going to lose.
Amen.
Jesus is king.
Amen. Yes.
Shield of faith, which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation. That's the only one y'all got. We got to get some more tools, some more weapons, some more protection. Do you hear me? We'll start with the truth and a breastplate. How's that? And a shield of faith and a sword of the spirit. How's that?
Yeah.
Have our feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you tell I know? You know how come I know my Bible? It's because I listen to it every day, 50 to 100 chapters every day of my life. Every day. I was out this morning up in Athens running. I ran 6 miles up there on that park y'all got. Real nice park. Thank you. And I was listening to the Bible while I was doing that and while I'm getting ready to come there. And then all evening this evening, I'm listening. We listened to over 100 chapters today. People wonder how come I know my Bible so well. It's because I listen to it. Because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
It ain't all this awesome music you listen to all day. Sorry. Some performing artist that's probably a homosexual. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering if y'all was wondering where I stand. I'm not afraid of you or them. How about that? Oops. You need to be more politically correct. Now, what you need to do is get born again. And then you'll be politically correct because you'll talk like God talks. Fair enough? Oops. Listen, you can't get more controversial than I am, so you might as well enjoy yourself. All right, flaming missiles. We're going to get them all. So how do you stop those flaming missiles?
Shield of faith.
Shield of faith. Come on. Duh, I just told you. Wake up, girls. Helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit, which is what? The word of God. There you go. Now I read you a whole bunch of nice verses, so y'all ought to be religiously happy. Now I want to tell you a story. Now this story is quite unusual. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. My parents were on fire for God. Everywhere I went with my daddy, he witnessed Jesus every day. I don't think there was a day of my life he didn't get somebody born again. It was every day. I was raised in zeal and fire of soul winning. All right. My grandpa was one of those tongue-talking Baptist guys from the old days. The head deacon's wife was one of those tongue-talking Methodists. And so that's how I was raised, is around these people that were weird. They're unusual. They were on fire for God.
Yes.
So what's unusual to me is people who are not.
Amen.
You complacent, chilled out people, or y'all are devils. It's just not right. You need to be on fire, else God's going to spew you out of his mouth. Clearly, that's what it says. I wish you was cold or hot, but since you're lukewarm, I'll just go ahead and spew you out with the rest of the devils. Is that what he says or not? So then why shouldn't we say it?
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus is king. Is that fair enough? Shuckabah. I want to tell you a story about a man that hated me for 32 years. He hated me for 32 years. That's the whole story. I mean, this guy was a idol worshiping, witch doctor bowing devil. He hated me. He hated the gospel. And he was really healthy his whole life. You'd think that a God hater would be a target for sickness and disease, but clearly the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust exactly the same. So you got to put up with these people who seemingly need these incurable diseases, but never gets them. They just live this healthy, awesome life, and they hate you as they go down through there. That is, I don't like that part. I wish I could change that and me say how it should be. But I don't have that right. I have to live with how it's written. And actually, evil people sometimes get the advantage over the gospel people. And that don't feel good, but it is how it is. So you can take a choice of being angry and not liking that, and getting a root of bitterness over some foolish thing that happened, or you can just go ahead and believe God that he's got it under control. Yes. And you can forgive them as they hate you, as you're supposed to do. Love those that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Feed those who curse you. I believe his name was Jesus who said those things. So that's what we do. I'm not telling you that we're good folks, because I don't believe in good people, but you can be right with God. Hello? I need you to stop trying to be good, and I need you to be right with God. That looks different than what humans think good is. Hear me? All right. So this old man, he stopped the gospel because he worked against us, spent his money his whole life hating the gospel and stopping it where he could. And he was successful in 4 or 5 villages. Even though, I mean, we were seeking God, we're praying, we're fasting, we have definitely got the upper hand, but somehow we can't beat this guy. But see, you got to believe God's plan. You don't get tangled up trying to connive and politicize. What you do is you forgive and move on. And you walk in the demonstration of mercy, regardless of what hell provides. Hello? In the name of Jesus. You actually should become a Christian. That Christian means to be Christ-like. As he was hanging on the tree, what was one of his words? Forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing. But you and I, as soon as somebody raises up against us, our first thing is get us a committee together and figure out how we can politically take them out. That's not the gospel. That's men's politics. And that is evil. It is demonic. Fair enough? How's the truth for you? How's it fitting to you? Fitting you all right? I got a glass slipper up here. Who does it fit? In Jesus' name. Now listen, that old man got sick finally. Thank you, God, I said. It was only 32 and a half years later. And I'm thinking, how did he survive? And so the family hates the gospel still. They take him to a doctor 8 hours away. Thank y'all. I want to thank y'all, Americans. Thank y'all. Y'all built the hospital. Y'all are very nice people. It's a oil field hospital down there close to us. And it's a really nice thing. I guess y'all put about $75 million into it. Y'all are really generous. Thank y'all. And so they carried this God hater to that really nice American hospital. Oh, and by the way, y'all give free medical. Y'all are really amazing folks. Thank y'all. Y'all don't get it, but y'all give it around the world. Yeah, figure that out. Shakaba. So, I got nothing to say. I ain't going there, buddy. I'm going with the Holy Ghost. Shakaba. So they carry him to this doctor, and he's a real famous fellow over there where we live, just like any other witch doctor. See, I believe that, and y'all don't. Jesus is king.
Amen.
So, let's keep going. Never heard it so blunt, have you, dear? Just wait. I'm going there. I've made my mind up. We're going to do this. Look. They couldn't stop the progress of these two diseases, incurables that hit him. So the old God hater died. I was the first in the cheering squad when I heard it. Thank you, God. The old geezer's out of the way. Now maybe we can get some headway in these areas. But you know what God does? God, he don't think like you think. I'm thinking, thank you, God, the old guy's dead. You know what God says? God is weird. Your God is bizarre. He is. He just, his mercy is amazing. The old man's dead. So they sent him home. So it's an 8 hour trip. He was dead there to get the paperwork together is 4 or 5 hours. Now the trip home is another 8 hours. Do the math. What we got so far? 12 to 14 hours. Get him home in Mexico. The coroner don't get him. We get him. So they got him at the house. Now these are all God haters. The whole family, the whole bunch. Well, one of our pastors heard about the old man dying. This is going to blow your mind. I'll tell you, my mind is blown. Your God loves you.
Amen.
You are loved. I understand that it don't seem like it, smell like it, taste like it, feel like it. I got that. But it don't change the facts that Jesus is king.
Yes.
He is absolutely weird. I'm serious. Watch this. They got the box built, the coffin. The old man has been in state. Where I live is called tendido. They take your clothes off of you, they wash you, and they put you out there in the house with brand new clothes on, and now the village comes by to tell you goodbye or whatever they want. You know, condolence. That really is to eat tamales. Okay, thank God for funerals. You get full. And so, woohoo! Now watch. You got the old man laying there. Now it's like 18 hours. And in Mexico, you got 24 hours to get you dead in the ground. Following me? Federal law. So they built the box. They went out there and dug the hole. You understand this has to happen? Right? They put the old man in the box. Nailer shut. Now, that's pretty close. Do you agree with me? That's pretty close to getting him in the ground.
Yeah.
We got it. We got the top on the thing and it's nailed. That's when my pastor walks in. Now what? Now this is, we're way too far. Yeah. Listen, this old pastor, now look, this old pastor that walked in there, I think he's the oldest pastor we've got. He's like, I don't know, he's an antique. I don't know, he must be 85 or so. I mean, he's just old. I mean, he'd have got there earlier if he was like 60 or something, or 50. But because he's so old, he moves so slow. Takes them a long time to get there. I mean, they done finished with the funeral. They got him in the box. They got it nailed. They got the hole dug. They fixed him, put him in the ground and cover him up. And then the old man walks in. Now, I don't know about y'all's theology, nor do I give a flying flip. Your doctrine, your theology, your way of doing things, because you don't work. What you do don't work. So I ain't going to do what you do.
Amen.
But I will do what God says. God says, be bold, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Your God says, take courage, for I will never leave you nor forsake you, for I am with you always. That's what Jesus said. That old man walks in there. You got to understand that. This man in the box is his enemy. Because the old man that got there is the man that, with us, that runs the area that we could get no headway with because of that old man in the box. So what's the rules? There are none. Do you understand? What they want, they don't get. You know what the old man did? I was up there just a couple of days ago with the two of them. And they was talking and giving the testimony of how he got up from the dead, right? And I'm asking, I'm sitting there in front of 1,000 people. I am blown away by this. Because this guy is my enemy. And it would have been great for him to be in the ground. But you know what God said about the matter? The old man walks over, taps the coffin. Says, get the lid off. And they go, now these are God haters. These are people that hate us. These are not people that are understanding and compliant to our wishes. There's been 30 something years now of animosity between the two camps. Do you understand that? This is not an okay scenario. This ain't okay. He walks in there and he is the enemy. And he walks over and he's just looking at him right in the face. Get the lid off. Could you imagine? They've been drinking. They've been eating tamales. I mean, so they obeyed the old guy. They got the crowbars. They pulled the lid up. Because it's nailed shut. And he reaches in there and touches his enemy. You know what he said? Get up. I apologize to you. These Indians don't know all these famous prayers y'all know. It's because I didn't teach them. I didn't buy the prayer book that y'all all have. Because I've noticed one thing about y'all. Y'all's whole system is a money-making scheme of politics. And I'm out. Jesus is king.
Amen.
And the old enemy, over 32 years, our enemy, he obeyed the old guy.
Amen.
And he's been dead nearly 20 hours. We have proper papers that the government says he was dead. And the old man said, get up. So the other old man said, okay. He sat up in the coffin. Now, like, do you get this? This is freakazoid. This is bizarre. This ain't how you think dead raisins should go. We shouldn't be so close to the grave. Should we? Or does it matter after all? Because I know one guy, it's John chapter 11. I believe it was called the friend of the Lord Jesus, Lazarus. He had already been buried 4 days. And what was Jesus' response to their God? We realize you're the Son of God and everything. But after all, he's been in the thing 4 days. You know what his response was? Move the rock. Take the lid off. Lazarus, come forth. Didn't he say that? What'd Lazarus do? Because he was wrapped all the way head to toe, mummified already. So here he comes. There ain't nothing pretty about this stuff. And what Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. So that's what we're going to do, right? Now listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm sitting up in front of all these people and there's my worst enemy in that area. And I'm looking at our people and I'm asking this old man questions. He turned and looked at me. He said, it's not my fault, David, that I'm alive. He said, that old man right there came and touched me and told me to get up, so I obeyed him. And I go, you two ain't right. This ain't how normal people live. We're okay with burying our dead and letting them go. Shakadaba. And I said, when you got up, you sat up. Okay, you're in a coffin. See, you understand how I'm caught off guard by this, right? This is my enemy up here. I said, what was your first words? He said, I turned and looked at Edomilo, which was, that's our pastor's name. And I said, do you have anything to do with this? He said, all I did was have him move the lid and said, get up. That's the only thing I said. And everything else wasn't in my power. He said, God did this. He said, he did it. So the old man gets up. Now watch this. This is wonderful. Gets up out of the coffin. You understand? He's got a brand new set of clothes now. And he had a bath, so it was nice. He gets up. He gets out of the coffin. You got to understand what I'm saying to you. Literally, this is literal. Literal. He's out of the coffin. And the disease that killed him is gone. It took a hike. We don't know where it went. It left. All right. You know what the first thing he did? You know what he said? How do I get born again? Woo! Come on. Huh? Woo! Woo! Come on. Yeah! There is victory. I need a halls, Mom. There is victory in the camp, y'all. So I'm sitting there freaked out because he got born again. Now I'm mad at him. After all them years, it's going to take a dead raisin to get you born again? Not just any dead raisin. Your own dead raisin. I said, so what I need to know, because see, I got lots of questions. Who'd you see when he was gone? How'd that go for you? And since you've been back, now watch this. Y'all don't think like this, but I do. I said, you got born again. He said, I did. I said, so how many people you got born again since you've been born again? He said, my whole family's born again. Because that one old man got saved. Well, he got raised from the dead first. Then he got saved. Now we got three churches started out of one dead reason. See, y'all are all preaching all this stuff about evangelism, power of evangelism. Dude, it's easy. You just raise the dead and things happen. Ain't nothing to it. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
What you need is the armor of God. What you need is faith in God. What you need is to believe the word of God.
Amen.
I am so sorry to you for the circumstances and the surrounding problems and all of these things. I am. I do feel it. I understand it. But it's no excuse. Jesus is King.
Amen.
And we take our stand firmly with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. We tell hell, is that all you got? Should have brought some more. It's easy. See, people don't like to hear me talk like that. It makes them afraid of because of the power that hell's had in their life in the past. But when you really recognize that you're a son of God, you are free from such foolishness. Jesus is King. And I'm right about this. I am. And it pleases me to have the courage to look at you and tell you tomorrow's going to be better. Because Jesus is King today, tomorrow will be better. Do you hear me? All right, will you please, can we pray for people and stuff? I'll probably get lynched if I don't. Is that okay? Y'all all right with that? All right, would y'all please stand up? And let's do some, they took away y'all's tune-making territory. Holy Ghost. There's lots of miracles. I just want to tell you one or two. Take my time, be thorough with it. There's everything. Everything is healed, blessed. Organs are growing. God. Things are on fire. I'm on fire myself. I'm going to go on record with y'all. On the 17th of this month, I'm running 50 kilometers, 31.2 miles. Running. It'll be my 17th marathon in the last 16 months. And I preached in the last year, I've preached in every continent there is. On the planet. I preach every day somewhere. Don't give me any excuses and don't be no crybaby to me. Dude, I'm 65 years old and I am full of the Holy Ghost. I can do things nobody else can do. And I like that part. It's because I absolutely refuse to believe what hell dishes out.
Amen.
Jesus is King.
Yes.
And I need an army to rise.
Yes.
The army of the Lord needs to rise. Vaya orando por las cosas, por favor, Debbie. Do you hear me? I've been at this a long time. And before that, all my kin folks, and before that, all their kin folks. 8 generations, that's a while. And I am very pleased to be the one that God's letting raise the dead.
Amen.
and to teach it that we all can. Everybody in this room, if you're a son and daughter of Zion, you have the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. And
the day you got born again is the day you got the power to raise the dead.
Yes.
It's the name of Jesus. It's nothing else. Do you understand?
Yes.
It ain't you and gifts and it ain't anything about you. It's all about the mercy of God. Shaka bada baba bata baba sha. You wonder why I am a wanted man in 12 nations? Because I am not going to back down. That's why. Shaka tada baba sha. So this is what we're going to do. Y'all start worshiping God every how you know how. Because I don't know you. I have some assumptions in my heart of how you might act. But I'm not going to use those things. We're going to let the mercy of the gospel flow on us.
Yes.
On purpose. Just start worshiping him your way, the way you know how. I'm all right with that. I assure you, I see all sorts of things. As you're worshiping God, the first thing I want to do is see if there's anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord. The greatest thing I get to do all over the planet is to put people in contact with the mercy of God. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, I want to invite you to come up here. And myself or someone will pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, today is your day. If you're backsliding your spirit and you're sitting right there and you know I've been telling you the truth, you've had enough of that lying. You may have a legitimate reason. Something may have been legitimate that knocked you off the trail. But nothing is worth going to hell over. If you've been backsliding your spirit and you're ready to get over it, come up here. Come on. Don't be ashamed or afraid. If there's someone standing beside you that don't know Jesus or backslid, grab them by the hand and just walk up here with them. I want to pray with them. Shepano Debbie. Tell me about it, dear. You need Jesus? You had enough? What do you want? Jesus. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, help me. I need you. Touch me, mercy. Fire of the Lord touch you, baby. In Jesus' name. Fire. Get her, Mom. Who else? Who else? Come. Fleece her. Who else? Come. Come on, mercy. Keep worshiping God. Come on. If you got an incurable disease, come up here. Do we have ushers? I need to make a line with some of these folks. If you're incurable, come up here.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You're doing great. Y'all are doing fine. You know what's awesome? I get to do this every day of my life. People's color change, languages change, but everything's the same. Food changes, but people, humans are the same. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost in fire. Now ain't you a blessing? Shaka tada baba. be.
Phew.
What? Where'd Mama go? Oh, there you are. Get her, Ma. Y'all ready, are you? What's up over here? Hey. Hey, pretty. How you doing? Got you some candy. I bet it's good. Hey. Oh. That's your grandbaby? Yeah, I see his hand right here. That's where that goes. Come here, Ma. Where you at? So you put these grandmas to work. The only thing I fear on this whole planet is a grandma. I'm telling you, I've been with these killer Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, all over the world. I don't fear them at all. But these grandmas, now that's a different game. Fire the Lord. You're home in Jesus' name. Hey, pretty. All right, now, besides the incurables, I want to pray you're fine. I want to pray for curables and people that want more fire and such as that kind of stuff. You just never know, do you? Holy Ghost. So let's just start worshiping God. You know anything about the blood of Jesus? What's his name? Mitch. Something about the blood of Jesus. What's up? Come on, Mercy.
Yes.
I mean, we don't know. What if it happens? What? We don't know that. Fire of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Fire the gospel.